Good evening. Welcome to church this evening. It certainly is a blessing to be here and to be able to share with you in this small way. Hopefully that we can come together this evening. Isn't it such a blessing we can come together at a place like this? We can lay down the cares of this world and just come together and focus on God and what He has for us this evening. What a blessing and a privilege we have in the land that we live to be able to do this. There's places in our world that don't have this privilege. And so it is a blessing to be here and to be able to share with you. I was going to just read a couple passages of Scripture, and then we're going to get into the message this evening. And one of those was Ephesians chapter 6. I don't feel like I need to read those verses again, but just thinking about that again, just... Children, obeying your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I want us to rivet that home a little bit this evening. I want you to ponder that verse. Just some instruction there to fathers. And this evening, if you're here this evening, as you think about the subject honoring parents, and as I dove into this subject, and the more I thought about it, the more I thought, you know, really, this, I believe this really has to do more with parents than it does children. So if you're here tonight and kind of relax and sitting back and think, I'm going to tell how your children should honor you, well, there's something here for all of us. And so, you know, really as I think about honoring parents and caring for parents, you know, I had to think of Jesus when he was on the cross. Several words that Jesus said when he hung there, the greatest thing in history that could ever be done when Jesus died on the cross. He gave his life. He was interested in the care of his mother when he was on the cross. Wow. Isn't that something? He was nailed, pierced through his hands and his feet. And he hung there and he was bleeding for the sins of the whole world. And he cared about his mother. Wow. I just think that is special. I think we need to follow the life of Christ. And we need to take... think about our parents and honor our parents and care for them and so on. It's scriptural. It's biblical. It's what the Word of God tells us to do. And in fact, there's some very strict, if you read the Bible, there's some, God says that he has denied the faith if you don't do so. Very important subject this evening as we think about honoring parents. I'd just like to invite you to turn with me to another passage of Scripture I'd like to read back in 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. I'd like to read the first 8 verses or so there. 1 Timothy chapter 5. First Timothy chapter 5 verse 1 says, "Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow that have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth indeed." And verse 5, "Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplication and prayer night and day." Verse 6, "But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth, and these things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own," and this is not just talking about husbands providing for their children and their wife at home, but we're talking about the household. We're talking, it also, verses 1 and 2 talks about fathers and mothers and widows and so forth. And when he says there in verse 8, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith. Some strong words, and is worse than an infidel. Some very key verses here that are talking about honoring our parents and caring for them and so on. And folks, we have a job to do, and to honor our parents. You know, we can't choose our parents. It's something that we can't choose. God gave us parents, and they're all different, and we all have flaws, and we all make mistakes, do we not? But God gave them to us, and in spite of our flaws and in spite of our failures and our weaknesses, we are called to honor our parents. Tonight, I am extremely thankful for the heritage that I have. I see my mother is here this evening, and I'm just so blessed, especially when I look into the world and you look at all the, you know, the children in our world today, and think that God placed you in a godly setting that he has. Are you thankful for that tonight? If you're thankful for your godly heritage, can you raise your hand? Praise the Lord. Thankful for the heritage, and I think we so often we take it for granted. And we tend to look around and we see other parents and, oh, I wish my mom and dad would be like that or like that or like that. Listen to us. We're called to honor our parents. That's no matter who we are and how old we are and if we're children, if we're teenagers, if we have children of our own, and we're called to honor them. Even if they have passed on before us, I think we can still honor them and so on. I said no matter what our age is, we're still called to honor our parents. Turn with me back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'd like to spend just a little bit of time here in Deuteronomy chapter 6. It's a very familiar passage of Scripture. But Deuteronomy chapter 6 tells us, verses 1 to 9, I'd like to read. It says, now these are the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. And so they were going into the land of Canaan. What I understand is in Moses' words. They were about to go into Canaan. And before they went in there, this is what Moses was saying. Verse 2, he says, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee. Thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with you, with thee, and that thou mayest increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Listen to verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. As I think about the subject of honoring parents, you know, really, between God and children, there stands a parent. And God gave an awesome responsibility to parents to teach their children and to train them and to show them the right way. And it's quite sobering. You know, I'm sure you've all heard that your child will get its first glimpse of who God is or get their cues from the husband or from the dad of the home as to what God is. That's their first observation of who God might be. Is that heavy? Do we take that serious? Are we okay with that? But it's this awesome responsibility that God gave us, is to raise a family and to care for children and so on. And this evening, as I think about honoring parents, there are three things that I'd like to look at. First of all, as I think about honoring parents, first of all, I think it is very and utmost important that parents must be honorable. I think it is so important that parents are honorable, that we do our best and that we do our part. Parents must be honorable. Again, that responsibility that God has given to us, entrusted to us to give our children a picture of who God is. Parents must be honorable. A study of the fifth commandment indicates that not only is it the duty of the child to honor the parents, but also it is the duty of the parent to deserve that respect. In the New Testament, whenever the Lord gives advice to children about obedience to parents, he also gives instruction to parents about bringing up children in the admonition of the Lord, as we read in Ephesians chapter 6. And so it also gives instruction for the parents in raising up children. And this evening, I'd just like to take a little bit of time, or we could probably take the rest of the time this evening, to talk to parents and the fact that they must be honorable. But just a couple of points. I have 3 points under this first point. And the first point is this, out of Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5, in what he tells us. And again, he tells us, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, all thy soul, and with all thy might." First of all, this evening, as I think about the fact that parents must be honorable, and if we're going to pass on the faith to the next generation, and if we're going to do our job in honoring and receiving that, deserve that respect, I believe it is utmost important that parents this evening, there must be a love for God that permeates the lives of the parents. First of all, there must be a love for God that permeates the life of the parent. Again, that's who he's talking to in verse 5. He says, "And thou," when he says "thou," he's referring, it's the same "thou" in verse 2. "Thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee. Thou and thy son and thy son's son," and so on. He's talking to the parent. First and foremost, I think it's most important that there is a love for God that permeates the life of the parents. Permeate in the Webster would simply mean to pass through the pores of something. It means to penetrate through something, to spread. I like that. There must be a love for God that is passing through our pores. Is that the kind of love that we have for God tonight? That is just coming through our pores and it's just permeating through. How can I teach my children the value of honesty if I'm not honest myself? How can we do it? How can I teach my children the value of clean lips if I continue to use profanity myself? Or how can I teach my children to have compassion on others when I continue to run over others in a roughshod fashion? First of all, there needs to be a love for God ourselves. Before we can crank it out of our children, parents, there needs to be a love. We need to love God ourselves before we can crank it out of our children. We send our children to Christian schools. We send our children to Sunday schools. And how can they bring to life something that you put to death in the home? It starts in the home, parents. There must be a love for God that permeates your life, first of all. So important. I think it is so important. It's the faith that you are cultivating, or that I am cultivating to my children, woven through the fabric of my life. You know, you don't need to tell your children what is important to you. They will know it. They will know what's important to you. More is caught than taught. You've heard that phrase many a times. They will know if our treasures are truly laid up in heaven. Where's my treasure? You know, we always say as long as my heart's in the right place. But the Bible tells us that the heart will follow your treasure. The real question is, where's my treasure this evening? Are we genuine? Are we real? And brothers and sisters, we can't pass it on to our children if we're not real. We need to be real and genuine, not fake. We're going to pass it on to our children. There's a story of a well-known evangelist or modern-day speaker. You should probably all know his name if I said it. But he passed away some time ago, and the story would go on to say that he had two sons, and his two sons were there at the funeral that day, and they buried his father. And the sad story, that night as they laid their father to rest, those two sons, they went back to the grave, and they went out and they got smashed, they got drunk, and they went back out and they urinated all over the grave. Because he wasn't faithful at home. You know, he's a well-known speaker, he neglected the home. Oh, my friends. You know, I have to often think, you know, we have that great commission to go and to baptize and to teach, go out into the world and teach and so on. And yet I think sometimes we get the great commission ahead of the great commandment, to love thy neighbor as thyself. Folks, don't get the great commission ahead of the great commandment. The great commandment is to love that. Yeah, we don't think of our children as our parents and so on, those that are so close to our neighbors, but it's the ones that are closest to us. Listen, and tonight you can be involved in so many good things. You can be involved in so many good things and be neglecting everything at home. I can tell you stories. A fellow that I know quite well grew up in even a more conservative setting than I was. In the teen years, I can remember him pouring on his heart, "Dad never had time for me. Dad never had time for me." Folks, don't get the great commission ahead of the great commandment. We are to love our children and so on. And so this evening, I think it's most important that there is a love that permeates the life of the parent, first of all. Secondly, this evening, as I look at this passage of Scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 6, look at verse 7. He tells us, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest down," and so on. Secondly, this evening, thinking about parents that must be honorable. There must be a conscious, consistent transfer of God's truth to the young. A conscious, consistent transfer of God's truth to the young. Look at what it tells us in verse 7. And it says, "Thou shalt teach them diligently." He uses the word diligently and the word teach. First of all, it needs to be in your heart if you're going to teach it to your children. And then you teach it to your children. Teaching is something, it's not something that is passive. You need to put forth some effort. You need to teach them. Your children will not automatically catch your zeal for God. They're not going to automatically catch it. We need to teach them. He uses the word diligently, intensely sharpen. He also makes mention there of talk to your children. When I think of this word talk, it's not something that is a lecture. It's not something that you just do at bedtime. It's no rigid routine or Sunday school structure when he says about talking to your children. Look at what he says. He says, "And shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." It's all of the time. It's not some kind of rigid routine or some kind of Sunday school structure. The key to passing on the faith is not giving them a lecture or a book to read, but rather it's taking advantage of every teachable moment in the daily classroom of life. when you sit down, it's when you rise up, it's when you walk in the way. It needs to be a conscious and a consistency transfer to the young people. And thirdly this evening, as I look at that, is not actually in Deuteronomy, but in Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to leave Deuteronomy and we're going to go back to Ephesians, where we were earlier this evening. But Ephesians chapter 6, so important. Another principle, I think, parents also need to provide not only training for their children, but also discipline. We need to discipline our children. It's scriptural, it's biblical, it's what the Bible tells us that we need to do. And, you know, I think it is so important to remember that discipline is a part of love. It really is. It reminds me of the father that disciplined his son. He was about to spanking him, and he was reminding his son that the reason he's spanking him is because he loves him. And his son reminded him that he can't wait till he's big enough he can spank him. He can love him back. But it is. It really is. Discipline is a part of love. Proverbs 13:24. You don't need to turn there, but Proverbs 13 and verse 24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes, or chasteneth him diligently. Not to spare the rod. Well, I believe in Ephesians chapter 6, when it talks about bringing it up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, it's referring also to discipline. Young people, I was young too. I think I'm still young, but we had that discussion with Jim over the supper table. He is old and I'm young. But I was young too. And you know, our parents know more than what we think. They just do. And they're looking out for the better of us. That's their heart's desire. And we're called to respect them, and we're called to honor our parents. But this whole thing on discipline, a mother or father that says they love their children too much to be able to spank their children are totally ignorant of what true love really is. Wow. And we're living in a world today that is trying to raise a generation without using the rod. And hear me out, we need to be so careful. Yes, we do. But I'm still a believer in using the rod, using a paddle when our children disobey. Now catch me, I'm not saying when they make a mistake. I'm saying when they disobey, when there's punishment deserved, I think they deserve a paddle. I didn't say a beating. I said a paddle. It's scriptural. It's what the Bible teaches us. In fact, the Bible tells us if we don't use the rod, we don't love our children. True love seeks the highest good for the other person, and that sometimes includes strict discipline. Too many children grow up and never see their parents set a boundary for their actions. They never feel the weight of their dad's arm behind a paddle. Parents who are permissive and fail to use the paddle are the greatest enemy a child can have, according to this commentary. Parents who are permissive and fail to use the paddle are the greatest enemy a child can have. Discipline, we owe it to our children. Parents, we're called to discipline our children when they disobey. Not out of anger. Warns us about that here in Ephesians chapter 6. Talks about not in anger. So important. Do not provoke your children to wrath. Happens a lot in our world today. Not to be heavy-handed, but it's for their correction. It's for their eternal good. We gotta know why we're paddling them. And I think it's so important that if we use a paddle or we punish or discipline our children, that they know why they're being punished. Sit them down and we explain to them. Proverbs 22 verse 15 says, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." You know, the world today is trying to raise a generation without using the rod. And I really don't think it's possible. I think we need to, there is cases. If you have adopted children. There is, God gives grace for that. Don't misunderstand me on that. Proverbs 29, verse 15 says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." And so I also believe that discipline is another part of parents. We need to discipline our children when they make, when they disobey, when they are not, when they deserve to be punished. Well, the second thing that I'd like to look at this evening is, first of all, it was the parents must be honorable. Secondly, children should respect their parents. Children should respect their parents. You know, I believe there are several ways which children can honor and respect their parents. Our brother reminded us of a couple of those already this evening. But Romans chapter 1 and verse 30, let me just read a verse in Romans chapter 1. You don't need to turn here. But Romans chapter 1 reminds us of a sobering thought. Romans chapter 1 and verse 30 says this. And here he's reminding us of the characteristics of a depraved heart. It's what he's talking about here. And he's talking about backbiters and fornicators and wickedness and covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy and murder. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. And then he also, in the midst of all this, he mentions disobedient to parents. Characteristics of a depraved heart. Again, it reminds us of the importance of children respecting their parents. And I believe as we get older, when we get married, there's different ways to respect and honor our parents. And I'd like to just talk about that a little bit this evening. But for children, even up into their teen years, when they're still living at home, I think it's important that that children, that they respect and honor their parents in their actions. First of all, it's in their actions. We are to practice obedience according to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Why? So that it may be well with you. That's the reason. Is it well with you tonight? Is it well? Some of you may be sitting here tonight and it's not well with you. And I have to ask, are we honoring our parents? Are we respecting our parents? Are we obeying our parents? Again, it tells us that it is the right thing to do. Ephesians 6:1. Colossians 3:20 says that it is well-pleasing to God that we would obey our parents. The way by which children in early years and on through the teen years can honor their parents is simply to obey our parents. Obey our parents. Submit to them. Honor them. We need to submit to our parents. And we could preach a whole sermon tonight on this whole subject of submission. This whole thing of submission to authority is a fundamental principle in the Christian life. And again, to parents, it's important that we teach our children how to obey and how to submit to authority. Individualism is something that is so rampant in our world today. There is a growing spirit of rebellion against authority in our world. Is it not? Brothers and sisters, submit to authority. Not only are we to love and to protect our children, but we are also called to teach them to submit and to obey to the authority in their life. Children that never learn to submit or to obey are like unguided missiles that will cause trouble almost everywhere they go. Need to learn to obey and to submit to authority. We need to teach them that. Well, we're called to obey them even when it hurts. Even when we know that, well, our parents do make mistakes. I made mistakes. But we're called to obey our parents, even when they may have been wrong. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 to 18, I'd like to read a couple of verses. You don't need to turn to these verses, but 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter 2, verses 13 to 18, he tells us, submit yourselves to every ordinance of men for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servant of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. And verse 18 says, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. That's also to the harsh. We are called to submit, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the bad ones. We're called to submit to the authorities in our life that God placed over us. It's a fundamental principle of the Christian life. And we are called, I believe one of the ways that we can honor our parents is to obey them with our actions. Called to obey our parents. That phrase, it says there in Ephesians chapter 6, it says, it makes reference there, children, obey your parents in the Lord. That phrase, in the Lord, has no reference to the spiritual condition of the parents. The reference is to the fact that the Lord places parents into a position of authority over children. A good paraphrase of this verse, I believe, could say, obey your parents whom the Lord has set over you. Our parents is something that we cannot change. We should accept them and we should honor them. We should obey them, as the Bible teaches us to. Secondly, this evening, we are to obey or honor our parents with our attitudes. We are to show gratitude for your parents. I mentioned earlier, and I believe this is as we get older and we get married and we leave the home, we are to show a good attitude to our parents. Are we thankful? You know, we all heard the little boy that made the comment, his parents or his mother made him sit down, and he said he's sitting down, but in the inside he's standing up. We were called to honor our parents with our attitude. He didn't have a right attitude. You know, our parents have done so much for us. They provided for us in the days and years when we could not provide for ourselves. If we would have been left to ourselves, we would surely have perished. But we had parents to care for us. We must never forget the sacrifices our parents made for us. I can remember some time ago, I was talking to my mom and my about thankful that, you know, that for what God has done for me and where I actually came out in life. And I was just, and my mom reminded me, you know, she said, I offered a lot of prayers for you. I thought, wow. You know, we have moms and dad at home that are worrying about us, who are praying for us. They stay up late. They care. I'm so thankful I had a mother who prayed for me. The word honor means to have respect for another with due love. Most of us, if not all of us, can be grateful we were raised in a Christian home in fellowship among God's people. You know, now as I'm older, we have our own children. You look back and you can realize I'm grateful for all my parents have done for me. We are to have good attitudes for our parents. We can honor our parents with our attitudes. Thirdly, this evening, we are to honor our parents by giving support, by giving them attention, by our actions. We are to honor them with our actions, with our attitudes, and with our attention. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 4, again, reminded us of that. Tells us that parents should be requited by their children. Requite means to repay. or to support those who are needy parents. You know, there are a lot of folks in our world today that would have the means to help their parents, and they don't. You know, as I observe folks in our world today taking care of the aged, it touches my heart. We are called to do that. Our responsibility in helping parents includes helping to provide for their needs in their old age by showing them attention, by giving them support. Tonight I want to, maybe you're here tonight and you find yourself where you're caring for your parents. And maybe you feel like it's a big sacrifice. Maybe you feel like it's hard work. Well, let's just think back and think about the sacrifice that our parents made for us one day. Sure, they made mistakes. Sure, they had done some things that they shouldn't have. Sure, they had flaws. But it was a sacrifice. And as we care for our children, as we care for the aged parents, it might be a sacrifice. But remember what they have all done for you. Take courage. It's something that it's biblical. The scripture calls us to do it. That it is the part of the family to take care of the aged. And if the family can't, then I think it's in part of the church to take care of the aged. But giving support, one of the ways we can honor our parents is by giving them our attention, even when they are old. And so we all have a part to play when we think about honoring parents. Well, there's a lot that could be said. There's also rewards for honoring parents. As you notice there in Ephesians chapter 6, it says this is a commandment with a promise. There are rewards for honoring parents. This is what a commentator liked to read, what he says. Many readers have had godly parents who, in spite of their faults, tried their best. There's a reward for honoring parents. The fifth commandment is a commandment with a promise. The promise is that your days may be prolonged, may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you, according to Exodus 20 and verse 12. The meaning in its setting that if Israel would keep the commandment to honor parents, the nation would dwell in Canaan without interruption. But if Israel's children failed to honor their parents, then neither strong armies nor walled cities could stop the enemy. So there is a blessing. There is rewards for honoring our parents. There's a lot more that could be said about that. To those who are older this evening, be careful to speak respectful of your parents. Be quick to forgive your parents for mistakes they have made in the past. Encourage grandparents to tell your children stories of the good old days. I loved when my grandpa would tell me stories of the good old days. It was a highlight. Encourage your grandparents to get involved. Seek to follow the examples they set insofar as they are in accord with the scriptures. Call them. Write to them. And thank them occasionally for the sacrifices that they have made. Honor them. To those who are younger this evening, remember that your mother and dad have been sailing on life's sea for a long time. They know where the pitfalls and dangers lie. They have seen many battered ships. Their advice is worthy of your respect. You might envy the boy or girl whose parents give them all the rope they ask for. But such young people are unfortunate people. If you have strayed away from the Lord and you know that your parents are grieved by your conduct, why not go home, ask for forgiveness, and make a new start? Honoring parents is something that is scriptural. It's what the Bible calls us to do. And remember again in that in Romans chapter 1, the Bible reminds us that it's a condition of a depraved heart if we can't honor our parents. We honor them by obeying our parents. We honor them by giving them our attention. We honor them by giving our attention, our actions, and our attitudes. Are we honoring our parents this evening? Again, it's the word of the Lord. It's God's word to each one of us to honor them. They deserve it. And it's scripture. It's what God's word tells us to do. I'd like to close this evening with a story, a true story. See if I can get it all together. But there was a story of an elder man. He went to a seminary. I don't remember what the seminary was about, but I know he was there, and I think his wife was there with him. But at the end of that seminary that night, the teacher gave them homework assignment. And the homework assignment was that they were to go home, and sometime between that seminary and the next one, they were supposed to tell their mom and dad that they loved them. Tell your mom and dad that they love them. And so this elder man, he knew this was going to be quite the chore because he had not a good relationship with his father. But this is what he wanted to do. And so he called his dad the next day on the phone, and his dad answered the phone and heard it was his son. And he said, "What do you want?" With that attitude, "What do you want?" And he said, "Well, Dad," he wanted to tell him in person. So he said, "Dad, I just wondered if he's going to be home that night. He'd like to stop in after work on his way home from work." And so that day at work, he almost lost courage. You know, his dad's attitude, and he just almost, but know that he's committed. This is what he wanted to do. He wanted to tell his dad that he loved him. And so that night, on the way home, he stopped in at home. And he told his, and he got to the door, and his dad had that look on his face. "What are you doing here?" Just had that look on his face. And he said he knew that he's going to have to tell him right away. If he don't tell him right away, he wasn't going to get it accomplished. And he just said, "Father," he said, "Dad," he said, I just want to tell you that I love you. And I want to thank you for all that you've ever done for me." And he said that when he told him he loved him, he could see his shoulders drooped, and he hung his head, and the tears started to roll down his cheek. It touched his heart that much. The next seminary, the teacher got up, and he asked him to give testimony of what they have experienced. This man stood up, and he gave his testimony. He said, "You know," he said, last week you gave this assignment." He said, "I'll be honest, I was quite angry. But," he said, "tonight I want to thank you for giving me that assignment." He said, "My father had heart condition for a lot of years, which he never knew it. And," he said, "tonight as I tell you this story," he said, "my dad's unconscious lying in the hospital. But had it not been for that assignment, he might have never made reconciliation." Friends, tonight, life is short. Life's too short. We don't have good relationships with our families. Let's break down the walls. Let's build relationships. God gave us parents to care for us. And yes, sure, they might make mistakes, but let's honor them the best of our ability. Maybe you're here tonight, and maybe that should be our assignment, to tell your parents that you love them. These thoughts in mind, let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, this evening we humble ourselves before you. We want to thank you most of all for your example in Scripture, your word, and how it teaches us. Father, tonight I just want to thank you for the parents that you have given to us. And God, tonight, as we looked into your word and we see your command is that we are to honor them. Lord, help us to do our part. And God, maybe there's just one person. Maybe there's just one person here tonight that knows they don't have a good relationship with their mom and dad. Oh, God, that you would bring reconciliation for that. Give them courage before it's too late. We thank you and we praise you for your goodness. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.